We have sad news to pass on this morning. A very dear member of our Roundtable family has died. Sean Stone passed away yesterday after a battle with cancer. He was 57. Sean has been a part of this program since its inception. Initially, he was, for some reason or another, referred to as our cultural cowboy. In the beginning, he eventually asked for that to be changed to cultural correspondent, and we did that for him. He was a longtime writer for Metroland and many other arts publications in the Capital Region. He loved history and movies, music. He loved cats. That all came through in most of his work. On our segment that ran most Thursdays, on this day, he would join me to discuss what was happening on area stages and screens. His last appearance on our show was in August, just days before he would be hospitalized for his illness. Prior to that, it had been months.
It was March, I remember.
Oh, it was March. Our last go around
was March, because I remember, because I went and I saw the movie Seaburg at the Spectrum, a matinee. I was the only one there because all of the elderly matinee crowd had fled.
Yeah.
They had already got the word. They pay attention to things. They were gone like a week before everything was shut down.
Well, it's just good to have you back in the studio. I missed you a lot, so it's really good to have you here. And for as long as, you know, the 3 or 4 weeks that we can still talk about the arts being open, it'll be nice to have you here.
I know.
All right. So tell us what you have seen. You're doing better than I. You've actually gone to movie theaters.
That was how most segments started with him, telling me what he had just seen, and he fully described the experience of seeing a film, and in this case, his first post-COVID film.
Guy Ritchie's Wrath of Man with Jason Statham, because it seemed, you know, the perfect
appropriate
for the mall movie experience. And
to you know, experience the wrath of man after having experienced the wrath of man.
Exactly. And it was interesting, because when you go to these places, everyone's a little creaky. Everyone's a little not sure how they're going to reopen.
Yeah.
And at this particular mall cinema I went to, the box office was closed. You had to get your tickets at the concession stand. It's like, I'm going to see like a noon matinee. There's only two people ahead of me, and they're together. And I think, oh, this will go fast. No, they got to buy their concession separately. No, the second order gets screwed up. And it's on a credit card, so it has to be, they have to get a manager. I was literally there for almost 15 minutes. And I thought, they got some things to work out.
Yeah. You know, and it's so, and everyone's short-staffed, and it's so hard, and we're trying to get back to whatever normal is or what will be, and it's just very difficult. But you do think to yourself, oh, God, why didn't I just stay home?
Yeah.
Like, so was the film worth it then?
I enjoyed it. It's Jason Statham. He you know, he beats up some people. It's, you know, it's edifying.
That was the joy of talking with Sean. He made me laugh harder than any other guest. His dry wit and sarcasm and cynicism were right up my alley. Shortly before COVID, I was seeing a movie for the Oscars at the Spectrum. I was the only one in the theater. It was a wretched British film that had a twist ending that made no sense and caused a guttural groan to come from me. As that happened, I heard another voice say, "Wow, that was awful." As the lights in the theater came up, it was Sean. The adjectives snarky, cynical, sarcastic, sardonic are all appropriate to describe Sean. But as positives, his demeanor was all of the above, but it was wrapped in layers of empathy and insightfulness and wonder. The snark was always welcome.
That also brings me in mind of this thing I see pop up on Twitter periodically. You know, somebody tries to start a chain question. It's like, who's the most famous person from your high school? No one. Literally no one.
Years ago, I was asked to interview Steve Martin at the Palace Theater. Sean called to congratulate me on the gig. I asked him if he had any advice, and he said, "Yeah, don't interview your idols." He was right. On June 2nd, as things were starting to open up, Sean wrote me a letter. It read, in part, "Greetings, Joe. Well, that was something. Is it over? Beats me. Got my Pfizer second dose a month and a day ago. The whole thing was a blur. Anyway, I had a meeting with a former colleague 2 weeks ago. It was the first time I'd met someone in person, en masse, to drink coffee and talk for 90 minutes since the iron door closed in March of last year. Honestly, and I'm rarely honest, I thought I was going to cry. Being of reticent stock, I did not. She thinks we can produce some kind of useful content website. I have no faith in myself, but she's good. I'll let you know if anything happens. He went on to write, "This is the time to cherish who is still here. Last week I spotted an elderly Asian American man who always wears a pith helmet on the number 10 bus. He made it. I felt better." On Tuesday night, I was invited by his friends to see Sean and say my goodbyes. As I held his hand and thanked him for his friendship and life force, I remembered the line from that letter. "This is the time to cherish who is still here." And at that moment, he was. He was still there in that moment. And now, he is not. But I am, and I will always cherish the joy that Sean gave me, our audience, and our community.
New movies.
Tonight, if you have HBO Max, you can watch The Suicide Squad at home. They're pretending the first one doesn't exist. This is James Gunn, who did The Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Will Smith has been replaced by Idris Elba.
Okay.
And there's like a walking shark that eats people.